What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 19th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Jared Jones felt elbow discomfort during a bullpen, had an MRI, and is now awaiting a second opinion. Oh no. Oh no. That's not going to be good. This is an IL stint. I have not seen a situation where someone gets a second opinion and they don't go on a long IL stint. We did see DeGarrett Cole do this last year and then return midway through the year. This is all, in all likelihood, Tommy John. And that stinks. And now what do the Pirates do? Well, they have this open roster spot now. It's possible they go add like Kyle Gibson or something like that. It's possible that Carson Fulmer, who is an NRI, becomes that guy. Maybe it's Thomas Harrington, who went 3.2 innings yesterday, or he's not on the 40-man while Braxton Ashcraft and Mike Burrows are. It's interesting to see what they do. The more important thing, though, is that it most likely will not be Bubba Chandler. He has not been thrown a ton this spring. He is not on the 40-man. I think that they're going to wait a little bit longer for Bubba Chandler to show up. So you don't really need to move on this. Thomas Harrington, we'll talk about him in a moment as he pitched yesterday. Slade Cecione is dealing with a mild oblique strain. It doesn't really affect much, but it does delay him when there is a possible opening in April or May. We don't think that Slade Cecione is going to get that. I apologize for mispronouncing your name before. Padres clarified the Yu Darvish situation, as they said it was fatigue before, but no, it's actually elbow inflammation. It's always funny. They say, oh yeah, it's a thing, but don't worry, it's just whatever. No, it's elbow inflammation. Okay. So he could begin the year on the IL. We're awaiting his imaging. He's considered day-to-day for now. We'll see. I hope all is okay. Max Scherzer is nursing a right thumb soreness, and it's possible he pitches through it, though it may result in worse command on a shorter leash to begin the season. Yeah, it's not really a case of going to target Scherzer. Yeah, it's not like I was really in on targeting Scherzer before. So this just is another thing that's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to pass on it. Also, I should mention with the Padres that it likely is Kyle Hart and Steven Kolek, right? Hart, even though he's not fully ready, I think they'll just go and get whatever they can from him in the meantime. Let's say Max Scherzer needs more time. It could be a piggyback with him and Yariel Rodriguez. I do think that Jake Bloss, when he does get a regular rotation spot, is someone to target in AL-only leagues. I don't know if really you need to in a 15-teamer when he gets that opportunity. There are moments that he looks really good, but then he falters and everything like that. 12-teamers, I think you can wait until you really see him lock in. So that's the situation there in Toronto. And the Rangers signed Patrick Corbin on a one-year deal for $1 million, okay, with incentives. Now, John Gray's out for a long time, so is Cody Bradford. Tyler Malley, he's looking okay. We'll talk about him later. So you have this rotation spot kind of covered, but you don't, because Corbin's going to need some time to get ready, probably a couple weeks. He's actually welcoming a child in the next 2 days. So he's even more delayed, and I would imagine Corbin is in that rotation by the end of April or so. That means you have four starts from these Rangers pitchers, maybe slightly more, that need to be filled still. And you have Malley, and you have Eovaldi and DeGrom, with Bradford and John Gray still out and Corbin delayed. You still have those two spots. So Jack Leiter is fine, in my view. He's still going to be there. I think Adrian Houser is going to be the one as an NRI who has pitched really well. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's Kumar Rocker. Like, no, I don't think so. I think Adrian Houser, 100%, you have this NRI guy. Like, you got to go with that one. So that's the case there. I don't know how long, though, both of these last. Like, let's say the Rangers are fully healthy and good to go when Patrick Corbin is ready. Then does Leiter leave? Does Houser leave? Does someone else leave? I don't know what they do. They might just move down Leiter for the meantime and then bring him back. Something to consider there for the Rangers. We also saw baseball this morning. All right. We saw these two games that are official games. And what do you know? Dodgers are 2-0. Yay. I suggested to everybody not to start Justin Steele and Roky Sasaki. And yeah, they didn't do well. Steele went four innings of five earned runs, five hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. You got strikeouts. He got a little bit lower velocity. He didn't have his best locations, and he got punished for them. But, you know, I hope it suppresses his ADP because he's healthy and pitching, and you should really like Justin Steele this year. Roky Sasaki, five walks in three Ks, one hit, one earned run in three innings. There was obviously a ton of adrenaline. Not only is he pitching in front of his home crowd in Japan, but it's his first ever official MLB game. And yeah, he walked a lot of batters. He only had three whiffs, by the way, on his four-seamer and splitter. Just one on a splitter. I'm still very concerned about rostering Sasaki in my fantasy leagues. I'm not saying don't at all, but he should not be giving, you should not be giving up a top 150 pick, in my view. It's going to be a lot of annoyance having him as they limit his innings and having just two pitches with one of them not getting whiffs, that is the fastball, is kind of bad. I mean, it's a breaking ball too, and they're like 80, 45, kind of like a curve. But yeah, it's not really a big pitch for him. As I mentioned before, Thomas Harrington went yesterday. 3.2 innings of one earned run, one hit, one walk, and three Ks. I unfortunately don't really like what he does. The heaters are pretty pedestrian. And the secondaries went 1 for 27 whiffs. That's not really it. He is a good command guy, and he's generally going to have a low walk rate. But this is not one of those dudes I'm like, oh man, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be great. I don't feel you need to do this save for your NL onlys if he does get that opportunity. He is not on the 40 man, which is the one extra little wrinkle in this. Now, you can add someone to the 40 man, I believe, by taking someone off who's on the 60-day IL. So Jared Jones, for example, would go on the 60-day IL and then have that extra 40-man spot. At least that's what I believe they did to Johan Oviedo. I could be wrong about that. I could be very wrong about that. So just keep that in mind. He's not on the 40-man, so there might be a replacement. I don't know. I really should know that, and I sincerely apologize to everyone that I didn't have that prepared. Christopher Sanchez, five innings, zero runs, four hits, zero walks, and two Ks. So what did we get here? We got data, again, from Christopher Sanchez. Well, the fastball velocity, 96.1, right? He's really listened to his goal of sitting 96 this year. That's great. That should make a better version of Sanchez from last year in his biggest struggle, allowing hits, nine hit per nine. That should come down to some degree. Now, is Sanchez going to be a guy who can flirt with a 25% strikeout rate? Well, if the cutter is there, and what do we get? Three of them. This cutter is not a thing. And I am so sad that I pushed it earlier on. He was saying, hey, I'm throwing cutter. I'm like, I'm so excited. This is cool. It's what I want. And it's just not there. And he threw just like three cutters all of last year at the beginning of the year and stopped throwing it. It's probably what we're going to get this year. And it stinks because he still throws these sinkers middle of the zone to right-handers. Like Christopher Sanchez, buddy, you can't just like hurl sinkers all day and have a low whip. You know, I mean, it worked for him for the most part last year. But if you want to be that guy, which you can because it's such a good changeup, and you have a good enough slider, I think, for lefties, and you jam them inside with sinkers there, you just got to like not give in as much with that sinker to right-handers, or at least have a cutter to fix it. But the higher velocity does make me more inclined to go with Christopher Sanchez for the season. We have also Miles Michaelis. Guess what he's doing? He has a worse four-seamer, sitting 2.6 ticks down from last year. It was a really bad four-seamer last year, and yet he had a poor quality start. At six innings, 300 runs. I mean, that's okay. Max Fried, 4.1 innings of zero runs, two hits, zero walks, and three Ks. His fastball was down to 92.3 on the four-seamer and 92 for the sinker. About 1.5 ticks down from last year's mark, flirting with 94. And I don't love that. But then again, Max Fried is someone who always ramps up every year. I jokingly say that last year was a little bit of a down year only because he had to ramp up twice, as he had a mid-season in IL stint and then wasn't as good when he first came back from that. So Max Fried, you expect like 2-3 starts of him kind of finding his way, and then he's just golden after that. I expect that to be the case here. Still a work in progress on that changeup too. 1 out of 13 whiffs on that pitch, and really just one that was well spotted to a right-hander, and we want that to be better. I finally got some data on Walker Buehler, and it was 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks, and I'm going to tell you about it after this break. So Walker Buehler won 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. And what I love is the Red Sox doing exactly what I expected them to do with Walker Buehler. What is that? Make him limit his fastball usage. 30% four-seamers plus sinkers in this, which is great, because Walker Buehler is a kitchen sink guy. He's got a cutter. He's got a sweeper. He's got a curveball. He's got a changeup. Oddly enough, he doesn't have a gyro slider anymore, but that's fine. I mean, I guess it's really the cutter, right? 90-91. And I dig this. I think that Walker Buehler isn't going to be a bad pitcher, right? And I like framing pitchers like this, where you have Luis L. Ortiz at 4 innings, 4 runs, 2 hits, 6 walks, and 2 Ks. And you're like, all right, I don't really think you're going to have the breakout. And then it's pretty much just being saying, hey, can you be this or not worse, right? Same thing with Jose Soriano, 5.1 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. But it's pretty much the same guy we saw last year. The slider isn't gaining anything. So what we are doing entering drafts is we're hoping for more of the same instead of hoping that there's more and being okay if it doesn't, right? Instead, that's the framing. And I think for Walker Buehler, we're at a point where we're just hoping him to be fine. We think that, I'm sorry, I should say it this way. He should be fine and we're hoping for more. And those are the kind of guys I really like going for, because I don't think you'll get to a point that it should be bad. Like, look, Walker Buehler having a 4.2 ERA with a 130 whip, that's not really going to happen for Walker Buehler, right? He has too much a variety in his arsenal. He commands the ball decently well. It's a winning ball club in Boston, and he's already throwing 5 innings. Like, this is a good pitcher who I think can squeeze out more with his strikeout ability with the stuff that he gets. I mean, his sweeper and his curve are very good movement. I'm in on Walker Buehler. I see him like in the mid 50s or so in my rankings. Like, I enjoy Grant Holmes more. There's better swing and miss ability, but Walker Buehler is a solid play, and I'll go after him instead of your hipsters like Nick Pivetta even, and Taj Bradley and Mackenzie Gore, Nick Lodolo. All of those, you don't really know what you're going to get from a day-to-day, and you see a much lower floor there. While Walker Buehler, I feel like, is just a solid play. I mean, he could be a Holly this year, and that's really cool. Nick Martinez, 4 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He's nibbling the edges really well, and that's fantastic. He was able to grab a whiff on all 6 of his pitches, if not 2 in most of them. And if when you're filling out your roster for the first week after stashing, say, like Giolito, or you have like your Woodruff or something along those lines, Nick Martinez is that volume guy that you might be able to get off the wire right away, who can give you a good start or two and not really hurt your team. You have Tyler Mahle. Oh, man, Tyler Mahle. 5 innings, 2 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. And when we last saw Tyler Mahle, it was anxiety riddled. It was like 91 and then 90 on his fastballs, right? Just, oh no, he's hurt with his forearm. He's not there. Everything is bad. But this is 5 frames and sitting 92.8, essentially sitting 93. In his old days, it was like 93.5, flirting with 94, right? So he's almost back to like his old self. This was over 70 pitches. Splitter was underneath getting strikes for him. He had 9 out of 35 whiffs on his four-seamer. Look, Tyler Mahle, okay, you've now returned into my focus a little bit. I would be okay starting him in Texas against the Red Sox, I think, in my 15-teamers. 12-teamers, I don't love it, but you are back on the menu, Tyler Mahle. I want to see another outing to make sure that this sticks around. You have Bailey Ober, 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks, and I can just say, oh, everything's fine, but it's not, okay? I've been afraid of Bailey Ober all year, or not all year, but all spring, because I remember last year he actually struggled to get his four-seamer upstairs like he used to, and he's been struggling with that a lot this spring. He got it better, not like 100%, but it was definitely better upstairs. However, velocity, never a strong suit for Bailey Ober, right? Like 92 is what we're looking for. 89.3, minus 2.5 ticks. And maybe he took a calling card from Joe Ryan saying, all right, we're just going to take it easy. Everything is fine. I don't know. I hope that's okay. I hope he's okay. That's a little scary to see the 89.3. Scour the internet to see if there's any sort of word on why. At least with Joe Ryan, he was like, yeah, I'm holding it back. Maybe Bailey Ober's doing that too. Matt Manning showed up again. Didn't expect that one. 3.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks as he's down to 92.7. The bad Manning was 93.5, and we're hoping for 95 plus. Oh, gosh, no. Brian Wu, 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. He was also down to velocity, down 1.4 ticks to 93.5, but whatever. He's still doing generally well. It wasn't like his best game of locations. His secondaries went 2 for 27 whiffs as he still tries to find that really good one. Okay, that was changeup, sweepers, and sliders. But you know what? This was just one of those days. Everything's okay. And Brian Wu, at least he's healthy now, right? I hope. That's not like a velocity thing that just dropped, right? No, can't be. It's just spring. Okay. Elvin Rodriguez and Tyler Alexander both pitched for the Brewers as they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with Woodruff not being ready and not really having a fifth starter at the moment. Is it Logan Henderson? We don't know. Elvin Rodriguez, 3.2 innings of 400 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. I don't think it's going to be him. There's just not enough there. 18 inches of vert on the four-seamer, but that's it, and the command wasn't very good. And Tyler Alexander, otherwise known as T-Lex, is doing his best impression of the Fatty Pirate. Oh my gosh. That is Ryan Yarbrough, with sub 90 mile per hour pitches and trying to make cutters and changeups work effectively against right-handers and so on and so forth. And yeah, that's not really working out for innings of 500 runs. So don't put any sort of focus on this. I don't know why I wasted all of your time. Chase Dolander, oh my gosh, 3.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Oh, Chase Dolander. You're pitching for the Rockies, though, right? And you're going to go into Philadelphia for your first start. So if he is in the rotation, assuming it's an SP5. I don't really want to do that on the road in your MLB debut. Don't start pitchers during the MLB debuts against the Phillies. And he's going to have to deal with the Rockies and, you know, in Coors. And he still has a 50% strike slider. It's a 61% strike rate curve in this one. 7 over 47 whiffs in the four-seamer are cool because he was 97 and had a flat attack angle and kind of got it upstairs a decent amount. But I think there's way too much to go wrong and not enough that really pushes me to say go race of, oh, wow, velocity. You know, we've learned that, oh, wow, velocity is not really the thing that we should be chasing all the time. Keaton Wynn also pitched here for the Giants. 2 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. Hey, 86% strikes on his splitter is kind of cool. He will start at some point. I think you should be aware of it. We were kind of interested in Keaton Wynn last year, and then he got hurt. He's at 95-96 on his sinker and his four-seamer. It's empty velocity, which is what I call guys without extension or high-adjusted VAA or vert for us to get excited about it. And yeah, he'll probably get some starts this year, maybe as a Toby at best for the Giants, but we're not going to touch that until then. With the Astros, we had Lance McCullers open for an inning and then have Spencer Arrighetti follow for 3.1 innings. It's cool to see McCullers exist. This was on TV, no Statcast on it. It was just one inning of blank, whatever, clean inning. And then Spencer Arrighetti, 3.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 4 strikeouts. And I have anxiety about the Pasta Pirate here, okay? I just haven't seen him really locked in. And even in the good one, like, he threw a lot of pitches that he got away with for strikes and whiffs and stuff. And I just can't get the idea that he's a hipster out of my head. And I know the second half was really good last year and showed all this promise. But then, is this really the guy that I want to go for in the mid-50s? I probably want Walker Buehler. It's just stable. I'll probably just settle with that because I'm sure that I have other guys that I can get that upside from and rotate around, and Buehler will just be more of a Holly than a Toby, I think. So I'm back and forth here on Spencer Arrighetti. I mean, I still want to give it a shot, but it's just the price of it is under top 200 picks at this point, and I don't think I want to do that. Robbie Ray, I absolutely do. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, 2 strikeouts. 0 walks, but 2 strikeouts. I'll take the no walks. That's fine. No data. Of course not. Why would I get data? That would be too kind. Too wonderful. Steven Kolek as well went in this game, and it was 3.1 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks for the Padres. He's on the rotation. He's in that over Kyle Hart, likely. And Darvish being delayed means Kyle Hart is also there, but yeah, Kolek is like the SP4 now, which is pretty wild. Cade Povich, 5 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. I don't really want to jump in on Cade Povich. I wish we had data or anything on this. I don't think that his changeup is consistent enough. I don't think the fastballs are good enough. And I wonder if the Orioles are going to go with Albert Suarez instead of Povich this year. I don't know. We'll see. Eric Lauer, 3 innings, 5 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. Yeah, it's cool to see you, but no. And Ryan Yarbrough, the Friday Pirate, is here. And 1.1 innings of 2 runs and 4 hits, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. This is for the Blue Jays, by the way. Eric Lauer and Ryan Yarbrough. We're not going to see those guys. No. That is it for today's episode of the Plus Pitch Podcast. I can't thank you guys enough for leaving the ratings and reviews. Those go so far for us. I can't express it enough. It means we get recommended more. It means that we can do more for you across all of Pitcher List. The more people that we get to listen to these. So thank you so much for doing those little things that can make such a big difference. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.